Ephesians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, so we kind of got kicked off, and then we had some snow, and then I had to go to Brother TJ's, and then I think they had missionary here last Sunday morning, so it's been a while since we have been able to get here to the book of Philippians. We're looking forward to it. It's been good, though. Last week was a good week. I got a lot going on every week. So last Sunday down at Brother TJ's that morning, doing Sunday school and teaching and preaching down there. Then Monday night we got the Romans class. And then Tuesday night, I'm not there, but Tuesday night you had that wall builders going on. Wednesday night, obviously church here, and that was good here. I went to listen to Stephen up at New Haven, but then got home after that and got on my treadmill and listened to Brother Dilbert Wednesday night. It was excellent stuff. So Thursday night, then I don't even know if it's been mentioned or not, but Brother Ross is trying to start a church. Brother Ross Wright, my son-in-law, Laura's husband, is starting a church over there at Jamestown. So since November, he's been meeting on Thursday nights doing a Bible study, and that's been going really well. And they have... got a lot of visitors. There's new visitors every week. About 2 or 3 weeks ago, Ross got to lead a guy to the Lord over there. So Ross and Zach and Stephen are all helping with that. So I've been going every Thursday night to that since the 1st of November. And so they've been doing that on Thursday nights and still coming here, and hopefully transition that into when they get enough people. So I think they're going to start in March. When is it, Ross? April the 12th. And going to do Sunday morning services there. And those guys that are coming over there, they're excited. He's got some people that he went to high school with over there. They're excited about the Lord, and they're coming. And so they've had people they led to the Lord. And there's a lot of support from here. Brother Ben, myself, Micah Bowles has went some, Brother Brandon Stanfield, Luke, I think, Katie at different times, different people. And so that's going on. So on Thursday nights I do that, and then Saturday I've got a YouTube channel that I do for young people, about 15 minutes, just trying to stir young people up. So I do two lessons on that on Saturdays. So I did that. And then yesterday, also, Ross and then we're down in, going to go street preaching at Jamestown. They had some type of festivities going on down there. And so they had to go to Clark Range instead of Jamestown. But the Lord had worked that out, because while they were down there, a guy came up and just brought Ross some water. And Ross started witnessing to him, asking him if they had been saved. And the guy said, no. He said, I'm trying to work on it or whatever. So it wasn't long after that, Ross had opportunity to sit down and lead him to the Lord. So it's been a good week. It's been a really, really good week. Got to witness to some guys I didn't lead to the Lord, but got to give them the truth. And then so here this morning, we're here at Philippians. So there's a lot going on. Excited about the Lord in my life. God's good to me. Better than I deserve, obviously, and it just seems like life gets better and better, and the Lord is good, and I just can't brag on Him enough. All right, so here in Philippians chapter 1, we're down here, and we'll be talking about the Lord here. The Apostle Paul brags on the Lord quite a bit as well. So here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 is where we got down to, and it says this. I'm going to read down to the end of verse 11 and try to get through these verses here today. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. So the theme through here, through these verses, obviously is some promises that we have in Jesus Christ and some prayers that we have to Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul sitting here giving us some stuff here that we need to adhere to, obviously. So let's start here in verse 6. And the first thing I want you to see is this, is two words here. Starting off, right off the bat in verse 6, he says, being confident. Now, we know we're not supposed to have any confidence in the flesh. We're not supposed to have any confidence in man, obviously. But Paul has some confidence right here. And he says, being confident of this very thing. So he's being very specific here, talking about what he's talking about the work that's going to be performed. And he's saying, I'm confident in this. I'm confident in this very thing. And so what we have is we have confidence, not in man, not in the flesh, right? But what we do have confidence is we have confidence in the Lord, and that confidence comes from the Word of God. Hold your place here. Look at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and I'll show you. We know that the Bible says that faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So our confidence will come in the Word of God, and I'll show you that just in a second. But I was mentioning that I'd witnessed to some people this week. So Friday I'd witnessed this guy that I had witnessed to a lot. He's been witnessed to a lot. And it's hard to pin him down on some things. And finally, just the Lord really getting this guy pinned down. I mean, he didn't get saved, but he finally got pinned down. And I had an opportunity to tell him, you know, this is the difference. He kept trying to say, you know, there's not a lot of difference between me and you. Not a lot of difference in what we're saying. I said, well, no, there's a lot of difference between me and you. I mean, heaven and hell is a big difference. There's a big difference between heaven and hell. And I kept talking to him and kept talking to him. And finally, I looked at him. I said, listen. I said, you've not given me one verse on why you believe what you're telling me. And he looked at me and he said, that's the problem. He said, you worship that Bible. So what that meant was, is that he worshiped what? His own opinion. His own opinion, right? I mean, that's obviously what he's saying. So I had an opportunity there to sit there and talk to him. And it is amazing how little people understand that this is not our opinion. This is the opinion of this book. Why do we make a big deal about this book? Because we believe that this book is telling us the truth and that we are betting heaven and hell on this, right? I mean, if a Muslim is right, guys, we're in trouble. If a Church of Christ is right, we're in trouble. We're going to hell. Well, you just believe Church of Christ are going to hell. They believe we're going to hell. News alert. I want you to understand that. Church of God believes you can lose your salvation. They believe you're going to hell if you believe what you believe. They believe you're going to hell. A Mormon believes you ain't going to make it. You know, so it's not just us that believe this. And so what happens is then we have placed our confidence in this book. Why is it a big deal about the King James Bible? Because the Bibles say different things. You got to decide which one you believe is God's Word. Either God promised His Word or He didn't. It's not about Mamaw and Pawpaw. It's not about, you know, Trinity Baptist Church believes in the King James. It's none of that stuff. Everything that you know about heaven or hell or Jesus Christ or anything, you've learned out of this book right here. And if this book is not real and it's not true, we're all in a mess. It's all eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die if this book ain't true. So it's very important. This book is very important. So in witnessing with somebody, if you can't get them to the point that they're going to agree that the Bible is the final authority, you're not going to win them to the Lord. He said something to the effect of, if I'm going to make it, he said, you got so much confidence that you're going to heaven. He said, you just believe it. He said, you just act like you know it. I said, I do know it. And I quote 1 John 5:13 to him, go through the stuff. And he said, well, when I get there, he said, if I get it and I get there, he said, then I'll have the confidence to say that I'm going to have it. Which what he's saying then is he's got to see it. That's not faith. That's not faith. And that's what we're going to look at right here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Paul said this, being confident of this very thing. This book, I am so confident in this book, right? This book is where it's at. Here's what he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 6. He says, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, he's talking about his soul, while my soul's here on this earth, in this body, in this frame. Here's what he says. We are absent from the Lord, geographically speaking. Obviously, we're saved. we're in Christ, but geographically speaking, our soul and our body right is down here, and our soul's inside this tabernacle. The real you is not what you see. This is not it. It's what's inside you looking out these eyes is what you are, the soul inside here. When you die, that body's going to go to the earth, and it's going to rot, and it's corrupted. But that soul is incorruptible, and it's going to go to heaven. So what he's saying is that soul that's inside you, when you die, it's going to leave, and it's going to be with the Lord. So he says, knowing that, whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Look what he says in verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. So it's faith. Faith. And so that confidence comes by faith, and that faith is in the Word of God right there. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So that confidence. So confidence that Paul talks about is always dealing with faith, and it's dealing with the Word of God. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. When you die, but you, so when I say you die, you don't even die. That's the whole point. You don't even die. I mean, the body is going to die and it's going to go in this grave, but you'll never be dead. You'll never be dead. No, I've seen people die. No, they're alive. They're in heaven or they're in hell. They're going to live. You're going to live forever somewhere. That's the way it's going to work. So you don't, I mean, this body dies, right? And here's what he's saying. As soon as this body goes down, as soon as this body dies, he says, I'm going to depart and be with the Lord. Soul sleep, all that stuff people talk about is not true. You're going to be with the Lord as soon as you die. If somebody's dead, they're not in the grave waiting, you know, for resurrection day or all that stuff. They're with the Lord right now, according to these verses. And not just according to these verses, and we think it, but he said this, verse 8, we are confident. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. So first of all, is that confidence, that confidence is in this Word. It's in the Word of God. It's in a King James Bible. The second thing is this right here, looking at verse, he says, that he which hath begun a good work in you, the he there is Jesus Christ. Look at Colossians chapter 2. I'm just going to give you some verses here, and this will be more of a, of just going through these verses here and getting answers, right? What it means. So the he right there, look at Colossians chapter 2, look at verse 6. Look at what it says. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. You received Jesus Christ, Lord. He hath begun a good work in you. That was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ started a good work in you, right? All right, go back to Philippians chapter 1. So that He is Jesus Christ. Now look at Philippians 1. Being confident of this very thing, that He, which is God, Jesus Christ, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it. So there's a performance there. That performance, that is by Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God is God which worketh in you, both the will and the do of His good pleasure. It's God that's going to work in you. He's going to perform that until the day of Jesus Christ. So what Paul is saying is, I'm confident. I am confident. I've got all the confidence in the world that He that hath begun a good work in you, Jesus Christ, will perform it. He's going to continue to perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ. So what you have there then is what you've got. That is a great verse on eternal security right there. Hold your place. Go to Romans chapter 8. We'll go through this pretty quick so we can get through all of it and I don't get bogged down in one or two verses. Romans 8. Look at verse 35. Romans 8:35. The Bible says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him, excuse me, through Him that loved us. Verse 38, for I am persuaded that neither life, or that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So that eternal security right there, he says, being confident in this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you have that assurance of eternal security. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation. You don't have to worry about waking up one day and and did I sin and did I mess it up? And folks, honestly, if you can sin and lose your salvation, you ain't going to heaven. I am not. There is not a soul. The Bible says he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. One man on this earth ever lived sinless. That was the Lord Jesus Christ. And not anybody else. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. It's not got anything to do with us. There is no works involved. There is no, if you sin, you got to get resaved and all that stuff. It is eternal security. We are eternally secure. We can't be separated from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's what Paul's saying there in verse 6. And he says this, until the day of Jesus Christ. Until the day of Jesus Christ. So, what is that? That is, that's the rapture. Look at 1 Corinthians. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And get 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Make that 1 Corinthians chapter 1, sorry. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. Paul writing to the Corinthians, here's what he says. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see there, he's talking about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Talking about what they're waiting for, right? So hold your place now, and we're coming back here. Look at 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So they're waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 7. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 9 says this, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." He's talking about these people getting saved here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Verse 9. In verse 10 he says this, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come." That's going to happen before the tribulation. That's the rapture. The rapture is going to happen before the tribulation. The wrath to come, if you look at the last verse in Revelation chapter 6, it's talking about the day of wrath right there. The Revelation 6 is the start of the tribulation. So the day of wrath, that wrath, all that's got to do with is the tribulation of what's to come. We'll be out of here before that. And so what these guys are doing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 is they are waiting for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. And so that verse right there shows you we are waiting. The next event in our life, what we're waiting on is Jesus Christ to come back to get us. So you go back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at verse 7. "So that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So we know based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, that's the rapture. Verse 8. "Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ." So that day of Christ right there, that is a reference to the rapture. And it's also a reference to the judgment seat of Christ, which is going to happen as soon as we get to heaven. So we want to be blameless, and Paul's trying to get us to do best we can until we get to heaven and get the Lord comes back and gets us at the rapture and we get to the judgment seat of Christ, okay? So he's waiting there. Go back to Philippians. Philippians chapter 1. Goodness. So you see right there, just one verse right there, how much you got to unpack in one verse. When you're sitting there and you're reading the Bible and you're looking at that stuff, and it is good to just understand what they're saying, how they're saying it, and what they're doing, and what he's trying to get across. And what you understand is this, is that he's confident of this, that the guy that started this work in you, he's going to finish it all the way up until the rapture. So you ain't got nothing to worry about, and he's confident that this is going to happen. All right, verse 7. Verse 7, he says this, "Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace." Now, only thing I really want to say in this verse right here is the point here that he's making is this, is he's got a defense of the gospel. There's a defense of the gospel. He's wanting you to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, right? So if there is a defense, if he's telling you that you need to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ, then there's got to be some people out there that's what? There's got to be, they're on the offensive. They're trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians. Go to Galatians chapter 1. And most of you are probably familiar with this stuff, but it's good to go over it and remind yourselves of this, right? Everybody don't believe the gospel. here's what we think. We think that people, you know, I was talking to that guy the other day, again, talking to this guy. Doesn't believe the book, doesn't believe the Bible. He believes it where he thinks it's right at, right? Because he's the final authority, so he believes it there, and he believes there's a God. And what I told him was, that's not what God is trying to get you to do. God's not trying to get you to believe in the existence of God. That's not what he's trying. That's not what the gospel is trying to get you to do. He's trying to get you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the difference? There is a difference in believing in the existence of a God as opposed to trusting in him to save you, right? When we say we're going to trust in Jesus Christ, what are we saying? We're saying this. All right, if I'm going to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and him alone am I going to believe on, just him alone. What does that mean? That means if it's like a Catholic says and there's sacraments and you got to go through all this stuff, I'm going to hell. I mean, there's 50 options out there, right? I can believe in the existence of God. This one talks about 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 God. They're all going to talk about God. All right? They're all going to talk about God. They all believe in the existence of God. But when you look at what they say to do to get saved, it's not in Jesus Christ alone. There's always something that's added to it, and they pervert the gospel. So what I do is I sit down and I say this. All right, I've got my soul, right? That's the most important thing, right, is my soul to me. If a man gain the whole world and lose his own soul, right, where are you going to be? You ain't going to be nowhere. All right, so here's the point. I've got my soul. That's the only thing worth anything. For me to make sure it gets to heaven, I've got to place that trust in one of these things. One of these things. Am I going to trust in the Catholics? Am I going to trust in what Church of Christ says? Am I going to trust in a Jehovah's Witness? Am I going to trust in a Muslim? Or am I going to trust in Jesus Christ? I'm going to believe on one of these things to save me. Now, I know what I'm believing in. I'm putting my trust in Jesus Christ. He said he was the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. I'm trusting on him. I'm believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. The devils believe and tremble. They believe in the existence of God, but they're not trusting on God. They don't have that opportunity anyway. He didn't die for them. But the point is, they believe in the existence of a God. They believe in God. They've talked to God. They believe in the existence of God, right? So believing in the existence of God doesn't get you to heaven. Trusting on Jesus Christ, taking that moment where you believe on him, he is the only way. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, right? Not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not Joseph Russell, not all the different Judge Rutherford or any of the other guys that started religions, Alexander Campbell or all of them in the past. That's not who you can trust. It's all on Jesus Christ. So that's the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. So as a human being, Jesus Christ loved you, God loved you, died for your sins on the cross of Calvary, was buried and rose again for your sins, for justification, went on the third day, right? Okay, so that's the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what you have to do. That's what you have to defend. Listen, I witnessed to a guy last night at the gas station. He told me he was good. I told him, well, I mean, being good, I mean, there's got to be an event. There's got to be a place. There's got to be a time. Sit there and talk to him. Then he told me something else. I never could get through in his head that he wasn't trusting in anything. I mean, I kept saying, well, what keeps you out of hell? What did you do? who did you trust? Who did? And well, I mean, I've prayed this prayer and things got better. And I used to, you know, I used to play gospel music. And look, man, I ain't talking about your personality. I ain't talking about your life. I'm asking you, have you been born again? It is a one-time event that happens. It happens. So that Paul is set for the defense of the gospel. In Galatians chapter 1, look at verse 6. He says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Verse 7, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. So what is he saying? He's saying, let a Jehovah's Witness be accursed. Let a Church of Christ be accursed. Let a Catholic be accursed. Man, you're so hard, Brother Jack. That's what Paul said. That's what Paul said. And here's the problem. People that if people don't get out, if you don't get out and witness to people, if you don't get out and find out what people believe and what they think is getting people to heaven, if you don't go talk to another religion, if you don't go talk to them and let them say, look at you and say, you're wrong, you're on your way to hell, or you're not doing it right, to where you can get out there in the middle of that thing and you can feel that thing. If you sit back and you never witness or you never talk to anybody else, you can sit back and think, well, you know, they love God just like we do, and they just want to try to get along with everybody, and they think that we're always mean and ornery. They're mean and ornery. They have church splits. It's not just the Baptists. It's not just the Bible believers. It's humanism, right? It's human beings. We all get mad at each other. There's a spot where people are going to get mad at each other. This stuff about acting like Baptists are the only ones that have a problem, it drives me insane. You know, well, you know how Baptists are. Are different than Muslims? I mean, they're killing each other. They're killing each other. If we thought we'd get away with it, I mean, maybe they could. I don't know. But it's like, listen, get involved in these religions and try to talk to them. And when you do, you begin to realize, man, they don't love everybody like they say they do. They're not all about, you know, get into religion and see how many different divisions. You know, Church of Christ tries to act like we're the Church of Christ and, you know, we've been the same since the time it was founded. There's all types of different religions that's split off of that and split off of that, split off that. Methodist church splitting, you know. You know, we don't believe in women pastors, and so this Methodist group's going this way. And they do believe in women pastors, so this group's going this way. This Methodist group don't believe in homosexuality, so they're going this way. This group of Methodists do believe it's okay to be homosexuals, and they're going to go this way. This group's not for LGBTQ. This group, you say, what is that? They split just like we do. They get mad at each other just like everybody else does. And what you do is if you can get out there and read their books, listen to them, listen to what they say, listen to what they think about you, then eventually what's going to happen is you're going to get to the point to where you realize, you know, they're trying to send people to hell. And it's Satan got them blinded. I mean, they obviously, I don't think they want people to go to hell. They think they're right. But you have a book, and you have to get this book. And Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Go back to Philippians chapter 1. Look down at verse 17. You're talking about preaching Christ in the verses right before that. And he gets down to verse 17. He says this, but the other of love, talking about preaching, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Do you believe that Paul would stand for a minute and let somebody pervert the Word of God or pervert the gospel and wouldn't speak up and say anything? Why do you just got to say something? Why do you got to always say something? Because we're supposed to. We're supposed to. I told you before, Paul was given the gospel. He was given this gospel, and he's supposed to get it to the whole world. And there are people out there that are trying to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're going to use words like saved. They're going to use words like God. They're going to use words Jesus Christ. They're going to use the same type of words. But when you get down to the nitty gritty and you ask them, what are you counting on? What did you do? Well, you have to be baptized to be saved. That's what a Church of Christ is going to tell you. If you don't get baptized by water, you and got to be by one of them, but their elders and all that stuff, you are not going to heaven. And then you still even got to live it after that with the Church of Christ. You still don't even know. After you go through all that, they still don't even know for sure they're going to heaven. You say, what is that? That's a perversion of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are set for the defense of the gospel. These are hard, negative words. Defense, contending for the faith. Those are hard words that if we let this Western culture and Western civilization get in our minds and get us thinking that we are messing up because we're using hard words, then what are we going to do? We're going to quit using those hard words. We're going to quit defending the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. All right, go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 8. Verse 8 is, he's just basically telling them that he longs after them. And he's saying, God is his witness. Look what he says. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And what we would say is something like, you know, my wife's my witness. I did this right here, blah, blah, blah. Well, he's using his God as his witness, saying, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. It ain't just, you know, giving them lip service. He loves that church there at Philippi. Verse 9. So here in verse 9, what you have is you got a few prayer requests that Paul's praying. So when you think about how to pray and what you should pray for, here's some stuff you should pray for. First of all, he says this. Look at verse 9. And this I pray, number one, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And so what you have to do, you know, a couple weeks ago I was sitting here and talking about that video with Kirk Cameron on it and how they all started out, well, I love you, you love me, we all love each other. And I said how it makes me mad. So some people may not even understand what I'm trying to get to with that. And that the point is that why is that even being said? And that love right there is not, you know, that's a love there that the world is promoting and is worshiping and is trying to get it out there. There's no knowledge behind that love. There's none. I mean, you know, you think you and your wife get ready to have a disagreement. I'm not going to say y'all have arguments, but I'm just saying, let's say y'all have a disagreement. Y'all don't look at each other and go, I love you and you love me, and I hope as our kids are watching that they understand that we love each other and we're having this conversation. I love you. You love me. It don't go like that. When there's a disagreement, it is, you said this. This is what I said. This is why this is wrong, and I don't know why you do that, and you don't know why I do this right here. And the people that's watching are not sitting here thinking, they're talking about how much they love each other right now. You can say all you want to, but there's a disagreement right there. All I'm saying is there's a love that this world is pushing, and it should make you sick. It's Hollywood love. It's make-believe love. It's Disneyland princesses. And this love that is not a love, and what they would do is quote this verse, and they wouldn't say it all. Here's what they'd do. He'd say, and this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more. But it goes on to say something else. In knowledge and in all judgment. Now think about that. Judgment? You ain't supposed to judge. Paul's praying for you to judge. To judge what? To make a judgment about what? About love. He's talking about that your love may abound yet more and more. It needs to grow. It's going to abound. Your love needs to grow for people. You need to have a love for people. We need to have a love for people. I'm not preaching against that. What I'm saying is there is a love, and that love needs to be in knowledge, and it needs to be in judgment. There's a perverted love out there, a perversion of love that people have. And everybody, if everybody's allowed to have their own idea of what love is, then that means that a 40-year-old man can say, I love a 7-year-old girl, and can go out there and rape her and do what he wants to, all in the name of what? Love. You say, well, Brother Jack, that's a little extreme. Well, the more things like that are pushed, the more we let go of things like that, and we don't defend that stuff, and we don't judge things, it gets to where that's more and more and more common. And you look up things like NAMBLA, North American Man Love Boy Love Association. That's what that is. Right there, that's what that is. Boy Love Association, NAMBLA. Look all that stuff up. And so when the world gets to define what love is and then turn around and tell you you're not a Christian because you don't love one another, when they can define what love is, then you're going to be in a mess. And what Paul's saying, his prayer for you is that that love will grow and it will abound more and more. But it abounds more and more in knowledge, right? And what? Judgment. Judgment. You've got to be able to make judgment on things. On this is love and this is not love. This is terrible. This is evil. This is wrong. This right here is true love, right? You want to know what real love is? I mean, you can sit here and talk about there's a love that we have. Then there's the love of God, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, which is called charity. That's real love. And what they want you to do, he wants you to abound and abound until you get that charity, until when you begin to love God the way you're supposed to love God, then you can love everybody else the way you're supposed to love everyone else. And when you love going against what this Bible says is right and wrong, that's the wrong kind of love. And you need to have that judgment. So he's praying for them to have that. To what? That their love may abound. The second thing is this. So he says that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And then he's also that ye may approve things that are excellent. And now again, there you go. Approve. You've got to approve something. How can you approve something? How can you approve something if you can't sit there and have some judgment on it and some discernment on it? Well, I just don't think you're supposed to judge. Well, then you ain't read the Bible. You don't even understand what that verse means when he's talking about judging. You don't even understand it. You don't even understand that. I mean, go back and look through the archives. Brother Dilbert preached on you ain't supposed to judge one time. Go look it up. And you can get all that. I ain't got time to get all that right here. But here's all I'm trying to get you to understand is this right here. Is that if God's saying you ain't supposed to judge over here, and he's saying you are supposed to judge over here, our job is not to decide, well, I'm going to believe this one, but I'm not going to believe that one, or I'm going to believe this one and not believe that one. Our job is to reconcile it because they're both correct. And you have got to understand what that's talking about as a Christian. And you got to get in that book. This is the final authority. This is how it works. I'm going to believe what? I'm going to believe this right here. All right, so there's things that you approve. We're supposed to be able to approve stuff. Look at... Go to 1 Thessalonians. Hold your place here. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Here's what God tells you to do. 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at verse 21. Prove all things. Prove all things. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. And it's not that I'm narrow-minded. It's that I just, when I got in church, I had questions my whole life that nobody could answer, right? And I would ask people, and they'd act like you're blaspheming the Holy Ghost when you ask a question. You know, so how do we know we're right and everybody else is wrong? Don't you ever say that again. Okay. We're right. Okay. I could tell that was the wrong thing to say. So I had questions my whole life. My whole life I've had questions. Well, how do we know this? How do we know that? What's right here? What's wrong here? What do we do here? What do we do there? I wasn't a King James Bible believer before until I came to this church. And I got under the preaching of the Word of God, and I understood that the King James Bible was the Word of God. I didn't know it. I didn't know it. Somebody could have gave me a different version, told me about the these and the thous, and I would have read it. That's where I was at. And when I got in this church in 1991, Brother Stan was in the book of Revelation. I was sitting back there about where Brother Brandon's sitting. And I'm sitting there listening. He's in the book of Revelation. And he's going to the book of Daniel. And he's going back to the book of Revelation. And I'm sitting there and I am listening. And I'm thinking, so that's why we believe this. And so that's why we believe this right. And that's why we do this right here. And that's the answer to that question. And man, I was just, could not believe that I had the answers. And so it's not that I'm narrow-minded. It is this. It is I am trying to change what I believe and what I think to this book. And this is what matters. This is the truth of the Word of God. And once I got tuned into this, that this King James Bible was right, after that it's just either I'm doing wrong or I'm going to line up with what it says. I can't have an argument and get mad at you people in here as y'all can't get mad at each other. And stay mad at each other. You say, well, we can too. I'm mad at that one right over there. Okay, you can. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to. That should convict you. If you've got a problem with somebody in this church right now, that should convict you. You say, Brother Jack, that's pretty good. No, that's the Bible. We're supposed to love one another. That's the right love. I'm gonna be acceptable with this lifestyle, but I'm going to hate my brother? What? How does that make any sense? And so when you sit here and you've got a problem and you can't get along with one another, and there's envy and there's strife and there's evil surmisings, and we're not esteeming others better than ourselves, if that doesn't convict you, then your conscience is defiled. And you think that you're justified. Well, you just don't know what they did. It don't matter. It don't matter. I ain't saying you got to eat with them and go out and go to dinner with them and all that stuff. As much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men is what the Bible says. But you have got to get that thing right in your heart. You have got to take all your ideas and all your thoughts and how you live and what you think about raising kids. I don't care what book's out there. If it's not... I don't even know how much time I got. If that book is not lining up with what the Bible says about raising children, you either have to change this Bible, which people do, or you're going to have to believe that book over this Bible. You're going to have to change that, or you're going to have to believe this book. One or the other. That's how you raise kids, is right here. You want to be a good husband? Right here. I don't care what the world says. You know how many times the world has lied to me? Do you know how many times the world has literally lied to me? I was talking to a guy the other day. He said he went and had his truck checked, and the truck got checked. They put it on a machine, and they told him that his torque converter was tore up. Showed him a piece of paper and all this stuff. He took it to somebody else and got a second opinion. The guy ran it for over 100 miles, kept it on the machine the whole time, and he said, ain't nothing wrong with your torque converter. What was this guy trying to do? He's trying to sell him a new transmission. What? That's the world? Listen to politics. Republicans or Democrats or independents or liberals or whatever you want to do, this world lies to you. They lie to you. You want to know how to be a good husband? Look at this book. You know how to be a good wife? Look at this book. You want to know who to marry? Look at this book. Right? That's the way it goes. This is it. We'll finish with this. Go to Psalm 119. You need to get this book right here. You need to get this verse memorized right here. You need to get them all memorized. All 31,102 of them. Psalm 119, look at verse 128. If you can get to where you can be like this right here, this is the verse I'd like to be like right here. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Well, I just believe. It don't matter. Don't matter. Don't matter. Don't matter what you believe. Don't matter what you say. Don't matter what you think. It just does not matter. Just does not matter. If you can live your life and you don't feel like that you've got sins that you're supposed to be confessing and things like that, you are not in this book. You are not listening to preaching. You are not listening to correction. You're not listening to instruction. You are not listening to what you need to be listening to. If you think that you're good and you don't need to be confessing sin every night and there's sins that you need to be confessing, I mean, we need to be. There's some sins we're confessing 3 and 4 times a day. I did it again. I got mad. I got angry. I evil surmised. I accused that guy of saying of thinking something or the motive behind what he said, and I was wrong about that. You know what we do? We just don't pay attention to it. We just go on. Oh, well, I was wrong about that, and you go on. That's a sin. That's a sin. Does it bother you to evil surmise or to accuse somebody of something that they didn't say? To frame words of deceit, to get this person to think something bad about this person, and then you can sit back and say, well, now, I didn't really say that. No, but you led them to believe that by the words that you're framing. Psalm 50, words of deceit. And we should be spending our day sitting here, what, trying to say, God, you're all right, I am wrong, this book is right. God, whatever you want. Look what he says. Therefore, I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. And not only do I esteem that, because we all think, the Bible's right, and I hate every false way. I wish I hated every false way. I just wish I did. I wish I could sit down and get ready to do something in my life that's a temptation and go, I hate that. I'm not doing that. But the reason that temptation works ain't because we hate it. It's because we like it. I like it. I enjoy getting back at somebody when they say something to me. Right? Don't you? Don't you? I wish I'd have said this right here to them. I don't ever say anything. That's because you can't think. You can't think quick enough because when you walk off, you go, oh, I wish I would have said that. That would have got him. That would have got her right there when she said that. We like it. We like it. I don't even know how I got off on all that. Love this book. Love this book. Love this book. All right, take a break.